Hello, this is Roger Shouse, and this is Jumpstart Rewind. This is part of our Heaven Bound podcast family. Jumpstart number 1983, first written November 27, 2017. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26. For consider your calling, brethren, that there are not very many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. Over the Thanksgiving holiday, I was given a box that contained many files and letters and photos of our family history. I've traced a good bit of our family, but there were some parts that were missing. So I've been going through and chasing names and dates and who's connected and how. Genealogies are interesting. Family trees can be quite large. It will take me a while to get through this box, but so far I've been reading about names I never heard of before. And in all of these early ancestors, lots and lots of names, I saw something that's found in most families. Most of us are just common people. I've met a few who are distantly related to famous people, but most are not. All those names and no one famous, no one rich, no one that people today would recognize. Such were the first Christians. Oh, there are a few leading women of Thessalonica, we're told. We know of the Ethiopian treasurer and Cornelius, a Roman soldier, but just a few handfuls from the thousands and thousands that became believers in the first chapters of Acts. Hollywood and Nashville music has a few connections through the years, but the bulk of the kingdom is common people. Many of the first Christians were slaves. They were not wealthy. They were owned by someone else. Who we are by our choices, not our ancestry. Sure, we may get the hair color from someone in our family gene pool, or our height may be something common in our family, but we can't hang our hat or find excuses for what we've become by who we're related to. From simple farmers have come engineers and attorneys and other professional jobs. It's opportunities and choices and what we do that makes us who we are. The same is true spiritually. We're not a product of our times, our families, or our culture, but rather of our choices. Some grew up never seeing a Bible open in their home. Some never said a prayer before eating. Some never went to worship. Yet they grew up and became believers. Others went to churches that were more social than biblical, yet they learned God's way, and today they are worshiping as God directed. An angry person may have seen anger in his home, but he's that way today because of his choices. A drunk may have seen alcohol every day in his home, but he is a drunk today because of his choices. Some dads were not affectionate. Some could not apologize. Some never said, I love you. However, you do not have to be that way. Some were terrible with money, but you do not have to be that way. Some couldn't speak two words without one of them being a curse word. You don't have to be that way. Choices. The song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus, is what this is all about. The credibility of our faith lies in the truthfulness of the Bible, not a list of who's who among us. Name-dropping famous Christians doesn't make us more right. Paul wasn't concerned that there were so few noble, mighty, and wise among the Corinthian brethren. That didn't diminish the message that was being preached. That didn't shoot down the genuineness of Jesus Christ. Our hope lies not in each other, especially not in the famous among us, but in Jesus Christ. Why are there not many noble in the church? Maybe they don't have the time to listen or the heart that wants to listen to the message of Jesus. Maybe they're more interested in their career than their souls. Is that any different than the common guy who lives next door to you? Why doesn't he listen? Too busy? Heart's not there? Even in the church today, we can pass over a picture directory of dozens of names and stop at our doctors, our lawyers, our CEOs without meaning to. We can make a two-tier system in the church. We have some among us, the elite. We brag while the janitor or the stay-at-home mom is passed right over and never mentioned. And it may well be that the janitor and the stay-at-home mom are more of the backbone of the congregation than the elite. God loves all of us. God wants everyone to follow him. We need to be more impressed with God than we are each other. It is interesting that the core of the first church was composed of servants. What better people to learn spiritual serving than like Jesus than fellow servants? They understood hard work. They understood taking orders from others. They understood it's not about them. They understood that they needed to please their master. From these very principles are what disciples do with God. Could it be that we've messed up leadership in the church because we like to borrow from the model of the military or the business world? There, the commander or the CEO gives orders and others below them carry them out. Their job is to think the big picture and hire a staff that actually becomes the connections and go to the people. If you work for a major corporation today, it's unlikely that you can just pick up the phone and call the CEO. There are layers of people that you must go through, and it's very unlikely that you'll never get to talk to him directly. That seems to work in the business world, but that sure stinks in the church. God's leaders are never called CEOs. They are shepherds. Shepherds do not spend the day in corporate offices buying and trading futures on sheep. They're not at sheep conventions. They're found out in the fields with the sheep. Where the sheep are is where the shepherds will be. They lead, they watch, they feed, they know the sheep. The sheep know them. They are serving as Jesus served. They're aware that what the sheep are going through. The first Christians were servants. Executives oftentimes make poor shepherds because they no longer know how to serve. The names of most of the first Christians are known only to God. We know of a few conversions in Acts, but who made up those 3,000 and 5,000 became the first believers? God knows. The same is true today. We know the folks in our congregation, and we may know the names of some in some other area congregations, but nationwide, worldwide, we may only hear of a few. But God knows them. And with that, God knows us. He knows what we've been through. He knows what we're capable of. He knows how hard we are trying. I found in looking through that box of files, ancestors of my family who came from Germany, Prussia, and Switzerland. There are some Amish and Mennonite faiths mixed in there as well. But mostly just names and dates, marriages, and children. What were these people like? Would I have liked them if I spent the afternoon with them? How many will be in heaven? How many chose to believe? Past about two or three or four generations, all that remains are one or two photos here or there. Beyond that, they're just names and dates. And someday, if the Lord allows this plant to keep going, I too will be just a name and a date to one of my descendants. Those early Indiana ancestors lived hard lives compared to what I live. I wouldn't want to trade places with them. But each generation and each person must decide for himself about Jesus, just as I must. We start out wanting to make a name for ourselves. We want to be famous. That's youthful thinking. In time, if we have an honest and good heart, we realize what is most important is the eternal. It's Jesus. Names in a box. Most are forgotten, even by later generations of the same family, yet never forgotten by God. Rejoice, Jesus said, that your names are written in heaven. That's the most important thing of all. Thank you so much for listening.